Thanks for listening to The Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go, hour two, live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We're on Fox Sports Radio and right here on FS1. Had so much fun watching that game last night. Derek Carr looked pretty good to me.
He's tired of being disrespected.
Yeah. Joey Taylor. Marquez Valdez-Scantling of the Packers joins us in 40 minutes. Matt Nagy, the coach of the Chicago Bears, they're 2-0, joins us in 15 minutes. This is where NFL people come. They just hang out. Okay, a lot of our shows, they're busy. We call. Oh, I got time. Got stuff to do. Nothing to do. Just
you're,
stop.
You're America's media icon. How
That's
do you
right.
say no?
And we're America's honesty brokers.
We are.
Everybody, oh, the ratings. NBC, big numbers. Fox, big numbers. Our numbers have been up back-to-back weeks.
Stop believing everything your friends tell you.
Yeah, Fox is up 10% NFL ratings through 2 weeks. That's competing against NBA playoff games, which don't normally happen in September. This weekend, you had the U.S. Open, the Emmys, the NBA Finals. Fox were up 10%. We watch the NFL. I bet the NFL. It's the only sport I bet. I bet professional football. Last night, I literally just lit a cigar, sat. I called a buddy. I said, bring cigars over and beer.
You're like,
yeah.
Are you always been a cigar guy?
Not really, but it's the new me.
Yeah.
The beer, the cigars. I am a rebel.
You've been smoking a lot of cigars lately. I mean, I'm fine with it. I love cigars.
But it's just, I think I've just moved into a different phase in my life.
I live in a smoke-free community, so I can't.
Really?
I can't smoke cigars, yeah.
What do you mean? The place you live, smoke free?
Yeah.
All smoke?
In California, too. Yes, all smoke. It's very limiting.
Wow. Bummer. That's a you problem. Wow. All right, here we go. Herd Hierarchy on a Tuesday. Let's go.
Herd Hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to college. Number 10.
Shocked to say this. I was wrong. New England. I'm sorry. You can win a bunch of games that way. Cam Newton. More passing yards and touchdowns than Brady so far. It works. He's got running backs that can catch. Edelman, N'Keal Harry had 7 catches. Third most passing yards in a game for Cam. Isn't that bizarre? I like it. Their Belichick's always got defensive players that work. Their secondary's great. But I got to tell you, this thing works. And it's only going to get better. I mean, as long as Cam gets more comfortable. They had no preseason. Still the best well-coached team in the NFL. And I don't think Brady could have led him to within one play of beating. Now, I do think there's a ceiling here. At some point, you'd like to have somebody that can get open down the field. But this works. That's a top 10 team.
Number 9.
Saints, I think, will get it kind of together. But this is really troubling. 160 total air yards this year, worst among all quarterbacks. It's very Kirk Cousins. Now you say, well, that doesn't matter. And they don't have Michael Thomas. But what matters is they faced a Raiders defense that didn't create a sack. So Breeze had nothing but time last night and was still dumping it to his running backs. Like, I get dumping it to your running backs if you're facing Chris Jones of the Chiefs or you're facing, you know, San Francisco last year. When you have time to throw and you're dumping to running backs, you're not a dangerous offense. They've also been heavily penalized this year, which they weren't last year. Saints at 9.
Number 8.
I'll put the Raiders in. They got a ton of offensive weapons. Their tight end group and their wide receiver group and their running back group is fantastic. The offensive line was missing 2 starters last night, and I still thought got a push. Darren Waller has the second most catches and targets of any player in the NFL this year. They're one of 4 teams to score 30-plus points in their first 2 games. I'll give it out to them. I don't know how long it lasts. They're going to New England this weekend. But just in terms of offensive weaponry, they're fun. They're fast. They're athletic. They're loose. They got a lot of dudes. They got a lot of dudes that can run, and a lot of guys were open last night. And New Orleans is a well-coached defense with good personnel, and there were a lot of Raiders that were really open last night. They got players.
Number 7.
Buffalo, I think, has the best young coach arguably in the sport, Sean McDermott. Josh Allen has benefited greatly because of that. Josh Allen's first 2 career 300-plus yard games are in the books. The Bills' defense, top 5 in yards allowed. Now, it should be noted, they face the Jets' offense and Miami and Ryan Fitzpatrick. So, let's they got the Rams this week. They got him at home, but the Rams offense has got a lot of weapons, and they may scale back a little bit statistically, but I think Buffalo's doing it right. I still have to see Josh Allen against good defenses in big games, but I can't deny what I see. Well-coached, real defense, and Josh Allen now can play.
Number six.
Tampa Bay. Leonard Fournette is going to get better every game. So first of all, what's not being talked about is their defense. Their defense shut down McCaffrey. It shut down Alvin Kamara. I don't trust their special teams, but as we predicted, their defense would carry the day in September. Leonard, the defense is allowing the fewest yards per rush of any team since the start of last year. So take last year and this year. This is the best run defense in the NFL. I think Pittsburgh second. So I'll put Tampa Bay's just going to get better, and I got them at six.
Number five.
Green Bay. Now, again, Detroit and Minnesota. Detroit had a lot of secondary injuries, and the Vikings defense lost five starters from the previous year. Some of it's that. But Aaron Jones looks like the best running back in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers is playing well. He's not holding the ball. He's taking more shots downfield. He's only been sacked once. The hidden gem right now for the Packers is this is Aaron's best offensive line in several years. He had time to throw, allowed him to throw deep. He sprinkled around to different wide receivers. They deserve credit.
Number four.
Rams. Their defense is better than I thought. Second lowest passer rating allowed. Carson Wentz really struggled. Now, Sean McVay teams, this is the third consecutive year starting 2-0. He brings a lot of new wrinkles, and it takes a while for the league to catch up. But they're top five in total offense. They're generating a pretty good pass rush, though not great. You know, if I will say this, more misdirection than any offense in the NFL. Both Dallas and Philadelphia were, it was a dizzying display of new looks, motion, multiple sets, variable looks. And Goff, when he's got time and is moving, is a very good deliverer of the football.
Number three.
Kansas City. Four of their last five wins have come trailing by 10 points or more. That's a little troubling, and I did think Mahomes was off. And I'm going to give him a pass because they had Baltimore on the horizon. It's the game of the year. And so Baltimore didn't play well, and Kansas City didn't play well last week for the talent they have. I do think this is a team that has not been great out of the gate. They're falling into holes, and Mahomes is having to do a little hero ball here. But I still believe in the staff, the GM, the quarterback, the offensive line, and I think they're a very focused football team.
Number two.
Seattle. I can't make them number one because they have no pass rush. And I think in the end, that keeps them from winning a Super Bowl. But I'll tell you what, man. DK Metcalf and Russell Wilson, yeah, that works. That works. Now their running backs are healthy. You know, the offensive line is a little better than I give it credit for because they are good at left tackle. And frankly, if you can run the football like Seattle runs the football, they can't be as bad as Pro Football Focus thinks. But they've got no defensive front. In fact, they're last in pass defense and they're last in total defense. That's not great.
Number one.
Baltimore, I think they're easily the best team in the league. I think they're going to beat Kansas City this week. They've allowed the fewest points. They've got the best point differential. Didn't play great and still blew out a team, Houston, that had three extra days to prepare. I think they're the most explosive. I think they're the hardest to face. I think Lamar keeps getting better. And I don't see a hole. In a salary cap era, everybody's got a hole. They don't. I don't see it. I don't see the weakness with this team. I don't. Baltimore number one. I want to say that there you go. So the Raiders obviously jump out because I thought they were going to be hooey. They're very good. I will say this. When a team is bad for a long time, it's very easy to be critical of them because we've just seen so much bad. Right? We were all kind of slow to say, oh, the Warriors, they made a really good move drafting a guy from Davidson none of us watched play in college because they'd made so many bad moves forever. And then all of a sudden, Steph Curry's a brilliant move. The Raiders have been a mess for like 15 years. And when I grew up with the Raiders, they were John Madden. They were Tom Flores. They were Super Bowls. It was a great franchise. They were tough, and they were rebels, and they were contrarian, and they were a great brand, and they didn't tuck their shirts in, and they sat on their helmets, and they were all the things the league didn't want. And they had John Gruden now not wearing a mask, getting in trouble. But we've been very quick to judge them because they've been so bad for 15 years. Mike Mayock's hired. We're like, never been a GM. John Gruden's hired. He's been out of the league for 10 years. The Khalil Mack trade. What are you doing? Let go of Amari Cooper. Guys, only good guy you got. Richie Incognito. Then they started drafting guys based on character. It looked like reaches. You know, they paid Trent Brown a fortune, and I ripped that. But I look at their offensive line, and they were missing two starters last night. It's good. And Amari Cooper's gone, and it doesn't matter. They got a half dozen good receivers, and their tight ends are great. And they've drafted well. And all those character guys have worked. It's working. And I'll say this. Derek Carr, who I've always liked more than the collective media fan opinion, Derek Carr looks good to me. And Gruden can be a barker, and Derek's more sensitive. But I'm watching Carr last night, and he's throwing darts, and he's throwing to the corner. He's throwing upfield. I thought he kind of struggled in the first quarter. But you know what? Once Drew Brees got off script, he didn't give you anything. Once Derek Carr got off script, I thought he was excellent. And I don't know. I've been very quick to criticize him, but all I know is what I watched. And they're fast, they're long, they're athletic, they can run, they got weapons everywhere. And Gruden talked about his relationship with Derek Carr.
There's a lot of people that make a lot of opinions on Derek and Derek's performance and our relationship. But, you know, he had 9 different flankers last year, 9. You know, when I was here for 4 years, and we had Tim Brown every week for 4 years, one. You know, we've had I don't know how many different combinations on the offensive line, yet, you know, he threw for over 4,000 yards and 70%, put us in a position to make the playoffs in week 15. This guy's a great quarterback, and we're surrounding him with better players.
They really are. You can't deny that. They looked the part last night, man. That Saints defense, a real deal. And Carr was slinging it, and their tight ends. Darren Waller looks like an NBA player. He's like 6'7", runs a 4'4". It's like Tristan Thompson out there catching balls with the pads. He's big. He's like a – I mean, it's like it doesn't even – you can just spot guys and go, okay, he's bigger and faster than everybody. Like, Darren Waller, you can't cover. I mean, Nelson Aguilar fits perfect. That Jacobs kid from Alabama is knocking people over. Like, it works. Hunter Renfro's always open. They got 3 tight ends. So I said, until further notice, my 2 tiers of quarterbacks, the oh my God level and the special rec level. Drew's out, Derek Carr's in, and Carson Wentz is on the clock. I thought Derek Carr looked good. I don't know what you want. I mean, he was better than Drew Brees for 3.5 hours. And I know I had a cigar and there was smoke and maybe I didn't see everything, but it was obvious. He was livelier. He moved around better. He threw the ball down the field. And what I liked about Carr is Drew Brees was good on the first 20 plays. Then I get nothing. What are you after the script ends? Derek Carr was not great early. He was fantastic late. Those were not scripted plays. Derek had ad lib. Derek's audible. He's ad libbing. He doesn't know what's coming. Like, he was really good. It's fun. Loved it. Matt Nagy, coach of the Chicago Bears. 2-0 Chicago Bears. What a great feeling. Great city. You're 2-0. America loves you. And you're just clinging, hoping your team stays healthy, which is such a huge part of this league. He's next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
This week starts Saturday strong with a huge doubleheader on Fox. First, Oklahoma looks to avenge last year's loss to K-State on Big Noon Game of the Week. Then the Longhorns take on the Red Raiders only on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
You know, we talk about all the time, young quarterbacks are better sooner than ever. And a lot of that is because these 7-on-7, these Elite 11 camps where, you know, Lamar, this generation of kids, they're getting 10,000 snaps by the time they're 12, 13 years old. And the quarterbacks are just, they're better earlier. The league, I don't think I've ever seen the league this good at quarterback in my life. I've been watching the NFL for 4 decades. It's just incredible. And you're getting new young coaches, Matt Rule now, Matt Nagy. You're getting, you know, Cliff Kingsbury. So the league feels very youthful to me, and I like that. And Joy and I talked about this with the NBA, the NBA bubble. God, there's so many good young NBA players. We've just got so many great athletes. And Chicago is 2-0. And the quarterback sometimes gets some heat, Mitch Trubisky, but he's 2-0. And by the way, I looked at their schedule. They face Phillip Rivers and Tom Brady and Matt Ryan. There's a lot of years, this Bears defense, a lot of years in the NFL. The Bears defense is going to be challenged here. And Matt Nagy, the coach of the Bears, is joining us now live from Lake Forest, a beautiful part of America. Okay, so it's interesting. So your quarterback gets beat up in the offseason. Everybody's ripped, blah, blah, blah. And it's not just you. You have to sit there and take a young man, Matt. And it's like, build his confidence back up. Because people can say they don't hear us. Everybody hears. If somebody was talking about me all the time in the city, I'd hear about it. How much of this offseason for you and Mitch Trubisky was building his confidence back up?
Yeah, Colin, you're right. It is. You hear it all. And like you said, for those that say that they don't, they're really not telling the truth. But at the same point in time, you have to be able to understand that that's a part of the business that we're in. And what Mitchell and I have done, I think, is taken this offseason to really step back and reflect as to what we've done the last couple of years and how can we get better. And, you know, you have a kid here who's come on into this league as a high pick, and there's a lot of pressure put on him. And what we want to do as coaches is give him the best opportunity possible to make good plays. This past year in 2019 was difficult for all of us, but what he's done is he's become extremely locked in right now in the offseason, and he's come into training camp. He won the battle, and now here we are at 2-0. And I think we're still learning a lot. He's been through a lot of adversity, but we're fighting through it. And that's what I love about the kid.
It's an interesting team. So Chuck Pagano is your defensive coordinator. He's an older guy and he's been a head coach. So take me to, so when you're a young head coach and you've got a guy that's been in the league longer and he is a former head coach, what's the dynamic? Because their defense is playing great. Do you hover over? Do you offer suggestions as an offensive guy? How do you and Pagano make it work? Because whatever you're doing is working on defense.
Sure, absolutely. No, Coach Pagano has done a really good job at taking over last year with this defense and learning some new schemes with them and doing different things with the players. What I love about Chuck is his personality. I think that he's done a really good job at building the relationships and the trust with our players on defense. We have a lot of vets there, a lot of guys that have been in different defenses and had success. So what he's done now over time has been able to create havoc with our defense. And this year in particular, I think we're doing a good job of keeping teams out of the end zone. You feel it, you understand it in practice. We didn't do really well that first game. We struggled a little bit the first game, but it was a challenge to them, to the players and the coaching staff, to be able to come back this past weekend. And I thought we did that. So it's awesome to have. There's a really good energy and vibe right now with that side of the ball, and it's contagious.
You know, it's a little bit of a cross your fingers time with injuries, so you don't get a preseason. And they say often you need about 3 weeks of live hitting to kind of create the calluses in the NFL. Take me to the only year of your life that you'll probably ever have no preseason. You start cold. What's been the hardest part of that?
Well, probably the biggest thing is understanding that every single day is going to be different. We got to be able to adapt. And everybody says it, but do you actually do it? And then when you do adapt, is there complaining? Or, you know, because we talk about complaints kill culture. And we feel really strongly that our culture and our building right now, we've been able to build this thing ever since the end of last year. We've taken this thing to another level. I really believe that that's a big reason why we're 2-0 right now. Our last two games have come down to the final play of the game. There's been resiliency, there's been perseverance, and there's been togetherness and unity. And I love that about our team right now. So was it pretty? No. But every win counts in the NFL. We'll take it. I'm proud of our guys, and we hopefully this is just the start.
So I'm a believer in you got to have an identity. It's one of the things I've seen with Cam in New England in the first 2 weeks is that they kind of know what they are. And that's probably that's why Belichick's a legend. They've been able to self-identify what they are. If I look at you, Matt, and I say offensively, what are you today? What can you put your finger on that you know you do well?
I would say right now, as far as running the football, we've shown that the last 2 weeks. I'm proud of Coach Juan Castillo and what he's done coming in here and setting a mentality with these guys on offense, that offensive line in particular. And then those offensive linemen to be able to step up to the challenge and know that that was going to be something that we really focused on this past offseason. Two weeks in a row now, I feel like we've done well with it. Can we get better? Yes. But our tight ends have also, Colin, been a big part of this run game success. And there hasn't been a lot of production right now in the pass game, but that's okay. They've done a really good job at making sure that we work together, O-line and tight ends and the running backs. That part I like. Can we get better in other areas? Absolutely. But there's more time here for us to kind of create that identity, but I'm pleased right now with the run game.
Now, let's just, that's the elephant in the room. You're paying some money to Nick Foles. Mitch has a couple, you got some teams coming up here. Indianapolis has real defense. That Tampa defense, I've watched it 2 weeks in a row, is no joke. Okay, I start looking at your schedule and I think to myself, okay, you got some defenses. Is the elephant in the room? Mitch has struggles back-to-back weeks. How do you measure that? How do you? You're not paying Nick Foles peanut brittle. This is a real salary. How do you dance that? How do you walk that line with Mitch and Foles?
Well, what the biggest thing is that we do is we try to be completely upfront with these guys, and I think they had a heck of a battle in training camp, and you see how Mitch won the job and started the season here. And I think right now what he's done, he's not worrying about any of that other stuff. Now, that's something that we do need to, we know right now that we feel really good about our quarterback room and that we need to win. We need to score touchdowns and we got to win football games. It's you try to keep it as simple one-on-one as you can make it. And so right now we are always evaluating all positions at all times. We're evaluating how we are as coaches. And I just think that, with where we're at offensively, I felt like the third and fourth quarter of this past game we just played against the New York Giants wasn't where we need to be. But I do like parts of our first two games where we've been. So we want to continue to grow. We want to be patient. But at the same time, there's got to be that urgency to score touchdowns on offense, protect the football, and then ultimately get wins.
By the way, everybody thinks you coaches basically live in a room and watch film and you have no life and all you do all season is just drink coffee and watch film. Did you watch the Raiders-Saints last night? Because I love the NFL in Vegas. I love it. I thought it looked great. Did you watch any of it?
Yeah, I had it on in the background, so you're able to kind of see. What I think is cool when these games go on is you're able to really watch a lot of situational football. And there was some of that last night for sure. You could see that two really well-coached teams with a lot of great players on that field. And there was a lot of excitement. That decision at the end of the game to kick the field goal and put it a two-score game was really big. And I just think, right now there's been a lot of great games these first 2 weeks, and we want to keep that going. But, yeah, we have it on in the background, but for the most part, you're in there and you're grinding away with your opponent for this week.
Is there any advantage to not having crowds in the NFL? I mean, frankly, can you just hear easier?
Well, you certainly can hear a lot easier. It was strange week one. I'll tell you, I don't know if I was quite prepared for how quiet it was. And I think every week it's going to be a little bit different based off of what the home team wants to do. But you had to create and manipulate your own crowd noise. And ours has come down to the last play of the game 2 weeks in a row. And we've had to get our guys jumping up on the sideline and being loud and screaming. And you can hear the different personnels that the opponent's doing screaming from the sideline and the substitution. So there can be an advantage. I'd say it's probably more to the offense than the defense. But, hey, we're adapting. I think the players and coaches are doing a great job, and as well as the TV crews with making it sound like it's loud when you're actually there.
Yeah, no, I thought the presentation so far aesthetically has been great around the league. You got the Bears logo behind him, Matt Nagy, third-year head coach, a coach of the year in the league 2 years ago. It's great having you on the show. Love having you, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Colin. You're the best. I appreciate it.
You bet. He's a disciple, of course, of Andy Reid. All Andy Reid's guys, folks, just hire Andy Reid guys. You'll be good. Just hire Andy Reid guys. You'll be fine. All right. Marquez Valdez-Scantling of the Packers this hour. Jeff Perlman's written a new book on Kobe, Shaq, the Lakers, Phil, Jerry West, the history of the Lakers and what they're going through. And, oh, by the way, Lakers, Denver tonight. Lakers win up 3-0. That series is all but officially over. And LeBron's in another finals. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Tom Brady got his first win as a Buccaneer Sunday, but he is far from satisfied with his team's overall performance. He didn't crack a smile when he was talking about the game in his press conference and instead focused on what the team needs to keep working on in true Brady New England style. But Leonard Fournette added that Brady is hard on him and the rest of the team, and he's hard on Brady right back. He said, I'm hard on Tom and he's hard on me. He expects a lot out of me. I expect a lot out of his ass. He's a 6-time Super Bowl winner. So I expect a lot out of him. Just know that. Sometimes I'm like, Tom, you might hold the ball too long. And he might tell me I'm not running the ball hard enough. And I'm like, damn, if Tom says that, I'm not running the ball hard enough. So I've got to come back and start doing what I've got to do. It also helps you to be responsible at your job. So the Brady effect is, in fact, happening in Tampa Bay.
I'd like to hear it.
Well, this is what you would expect.
Of course.
Right? I mean, he's not, you know, old dog, new tricks. He's not going to leave New England after 20 years and then all of a sudden become this wild man who doesn't hold anybody accountable. Like, that is what Brady is. That's why Arians' comments after the first game kind of felt a little aggressive, just in the wording that he used. Because it's like, this is not a guy who's not determined.
Yeah,
he's not going to try and get it right.
Yeah, the determined thing to me was that's the... You know, there's certain things you don't have to worry about, Tom. Obsessed, determined, focused. He's good on those. Those boxes have been checked on the flight down.
Yeah, right. Like, if you watch Tom versus Time,
yeah,
this is all this guy does. So I do think they will progressively get better. As Arian said, he thinks that they're going to be better in November than they are right now. I think so, too. Because, again, this team, and I pretty much say this every day, this team and a team like the Cowboys are teams that we don't think about in that category of, while they probably needed a preseason, they have a new situation. Cowboys have a new head coach in Mike McCarthy. Bruce Arians has Tom Brady now. These are massive changes. And that's why Peter King said earlier, you got to give the Patriots and Cam Newton some credit for being able to put that together so quickly in a completely new situation, which really no one expected. So there's a lot of new situations around the league, but I think this is one that will continue to develop just because Tom Brady is like that. He's going to hold you accountable. So the Falcons suffered another devastating loss after falling to the Cowboys on Sunday, failing to recover the onside kick. Head coach Dan Quinn insisted that his players knew that they couldn't recover the ball before it went 10 yards, but just didn't make the proper play. However, team owner Arthur Blank disagrees. He said he thought it was clear in the video that they didn't understand what the rules were.
Clearly.
And what they had to do.
By the way, why can't, if I'm the Falcons, jump on the ball? It's the Cowboys that can't touch it for 10 yards. Atlanta can just jump on the ball. What are they doing?
I don't know.
You're a special teams coach. You have to do your job. Know your rules as a special. The team getting the onside kick, they can touch it at any time. They don't have to wait 10 yards.
I think everyone has to wait.
Are you sure?
10 yards. I don't know.
They could have grabbed it at any point.
The Cowboys can't touch it. Yeah,
Falcons
it's a penalty.
Falcons can just jump on it and they're done.
Yeah, Atlanta, what are they waiting for?
That makes it worse. I mean, the onside kick rule, I think, is ridiculous to begin with.
Well, yeah, that's...
I thought they should have changed it. It was on the table to change this year. They decided not to.
If the owner is saying they didn't clearly understand the rules, the coach is fired. Somebody's getting fired over that.
It's just special team... There are certain mistakes that happen on an NFL field that I feel like are just unacceptable. And special teams mistakes are just... They're just kind of one of those things. You can't make mistakes like that. You have to know the rules. You have to know exactly what to do in those situations.
Two franchises that just don't do special teams generally well, Chargers, Buccaneers. Don't we always think they have talent and can't win the big games? Like, do you know how many times New England has won a big game because of special teams?
Because it comes down to situations in big moments.
And that game right there is Atlanta butchered it, Dallas didn't, and that's the difference
in a game. I mean, Atlanta should have never been in that situation to begin with,
right?
If we're being honest. But at the end of the day, still, you got to finish the game.
Somebody's getting fired when the owner says, yeah, my coaches, the players didn't know the rules. Somebody's getting fired. May not be this week, but somebody's
but
getting
fired. But to Arthur Blank's point, if you're the Falcons and you could get that ball at any moment... Maybe they didn't know the rules.
They didn't,
because
clearly.
Because why wouldn't you just jump on it?
No, clearly the coaches didn't elaborate the rules to the players. That's the issue.
Unbelievable. Well, the NFL sent a memo to every team after week one reiterating the need for everyone on the sidelines to wear masks, and those that didn't would be subject to penalties. So far, three coaches have been singled out for not following the guidelines. Pete Carroll, Kyle Shanahan, and Vic Fangio have reportedly been fined $100,000 each for not wearing their masks properly, and their respective teams were each hit with $250,000 fines as well.
They got a headphone. They got to talk. I don't know.
I think Andy Reid has figured it out. I feel like the shield was a little bit of a struggle week one.
It's so...
But I think his shield now, I was looking at it, it's fitted over his cap. He's got like a special... It has vent holes. I noticed that. Yeah. So he's figured it out. Like, he's not into the mask. He's wearing the...
My wife and I argued about this last night. She's like, why isn't Gruden wearing a mask? I said, because he's talking on a headset. Is he supposed to do this?
So they're not in a bubble. But in theory, if you're on the field, you are COVID-free.
Yes.
Right?
So what's the point?
But, well, I understand the point for the staff and for the coaches. For the head coach, I understand it's a little difficult. You are yelling. But you have to think about optics, and they are thinking about safety. Like, they've done an amazing job with whatever it is they're doing, so it's clearly working.
But
outside of a bubble,
if you're outdoors in the wind and the sun, we know in America.
Well, I think the issue here is, and John Gruden apologized last night, saying he's doing his best as well. I understand it is difficult. The issue here is, and I noticed it with the refs as well. Like, whenever you're getting close to people, pull the mask up. Like, if you're yelling out onto the field and you feel like they can't hear you and you pull your mask down, okay. But, like, when they're, like, in groups of people yelling and screaming at each other and he's yelling at the ref and the mask is down, I don't know. But the NFL is taking it seriously, and all I will say is they've done an impeccable job getting the league up and running.
No question.
Very, very few positive tests. I don't know the exact number, but very, very few. I think there were only two this week out of thousands of tests. So whatever the rules and regulations they have in place are working.
Everything, UFC, golf, NASCAR, NBA, NHL, baseball, football, pro leagues have been unbelievable.
Right. So if this is the medical guidelines that they have, which is try and follow them.
All right. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Marquez Valdez-Scantling, a Packer receiver. They have the number one offense in the NFL right now, is going to join us live. The Packer wide receiver, an emerging star around the corner.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
One of the things that's cool about the NFL, when you watch young guys become stars for legendary franchises, wide receiver Marquez Valdez-Scantling is in his third year in the league. And it took Devontae Adams about a year or two to become a star. And this guy can flat run. The Packers lead the NFL in scoring. And he is joining us live from Green Bay right now. He just told me off air he had five guys from his high school who go to the NFL, including Isaiah Wynn. And I've got to ask you. So you go to NC State. You go to South Florida. Then you end up in you go to Green Bay. Your first practice with Aaron Rodgers. Just go back to you're a Green Bay Packer. He's a legend. Do you remember the first practice? Were you nervous?
Honestly, it was just not even the first practice. It was just walking into the building. And I think him, Clay Matthews, and Randall Cobb were all sitting at a table talking. And I'm just looking at them like, man, these are the guys I grew up watching and, you know, just idolizing. And they're all sitting at a table right in front of me. And I'm in a building with these guys. So it was just kind of just starstruck for a quick second. But after that, you know, got to be around them and meet them and hang out with them, and just a normal guy like everybody else.
Aaron's a guy that likes to trust his receivers. It takes a while, Marquez, to build trust. A lot of reps, a lot of practices. He's got to know you're going to be in the spot. When do you believe that Aaron, you were building the trust? When do you believe that you guys were on the same page and this thing was going to work?
When he starts throwing you the football. That's kind of how it is. You know, with 12, he's been in the league for a long time. He's been around a lot of great wide receivers, and he knows what it looks like to go out and be great. So when you have a quarterback that has a high standard, he knows exactly, you know, what he wants. And so, of course, he's going to, you know, have those standards and make sure that you know what you're doing before he gets out there and trust you when it comes to making plays.
How often does Aaron audible? When he audibles, does he look at you? Do you, when you go to the line of scrimmage, how much do you have to be on your toes with Aaron?
Every single second before the ball is snapped. Just because, like I said, he's been in the league so long, he knows exactly what the defense is going to do probably 99% of the time. It's not really too often that they can, you know, fool him into doing something that he's not supposed to be doing. So, you know, he's always making checks at the line and figuring out, you know, how can we beat this defense that they're about to put up. And so you got to be aware at all times about what's about to happen before the play starts.
So now that you've been established, everybody knows you're one of the fastest guys in the league. And when you walked into the league, people don't know much about you. But now guys have film on you. They know your speed. People can roll over coverages. Do you sense when you go out there, Marquez, the respect you're getting around the league? Are coverages changing for you?
It's a little difficult when you got Devontae Adams on the other side and you got Aaron Jones in the backfield. So it makes it quite difficult to roll coverages when you got one of the best, you know, wide receivers in the NFL and then one of the best running backs in the NFL. So it was a lot of one-on-one coverages throughout the game because you have a guy trying to double Devontae Adams.
You know, Green Bay is a very unique place. You played football. You grew up in St. Petersburg, Florida. I used to live around there. Very warm. You played at South Florida. NC State's mostly nice winter weather. And then you go up to Green Bay, and it's small and it's cold. Now you got to catch a ball when it's 9 degrees. Was there any physical adjustment to the weather and the surroundings in Green Bay?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, like you just stated, I'm from Florida, so I had never played in anything, you know, like the frozen tundra. So just being able to get used to catching footballs in this temperature and being able to stay warm and run fast in the cold, it's all different things that I had never been accustomed to. So I had to learn very quickly. If I want to spend a long time here, I got to be able to do it. So just had to figure out how to do it and who to talk to about, you know, what they did when they had to adjust to this cold weather. And figured it out and, you know, make it happen.
So when you were probably so gifted in high school and college, you would watch film. But one of the things guys have told me through the years, when you get to the NFL, you really got to watch film. Like you got, like, give me your average week. How much film do you watch? When you watch film, do you watch it with Aaron? Take my audience to what your film study's like.
Nah, so, I mean, you kind of just, you work on the defenders. You look at their defenses and what they run and how they like to play certain leverages and things of that nature. But, you know, it's not really one of those things where you break it down with the quarterbacks or, you know, other wide receivers. You kind of just learn for yourself about, you know, how you can beat a certain guy on a certain route. And that's kind of what the mindset is when you are breaking down film.
You've probably been the fastest guy in every football field, and then you get to the NFL. Is there anybody that can run with you, that can just line it up?
No. they got to line it up first. They got to show me they can beat me. And then when they beat me, they got to show me they can beat me again. So,
do you talk when you get into these cornerback battles? Are you a talker out there?
For sure. It's just the Florida in me. That's just how we were raised. I'm a trash talk to the day I die. And so that's just who I am as a wide receiver. You know, I feel like if I can get in your head, you know, then I won already. So I'm a trash talk, you know, every single snap, you know, win or lose, you know, you're going to hear it from me.
Marquez Valdez-Scantling, a great young talent, second on the Packers. So Davante Adams is, you know, I mean, you just watch television. He just pops. When is there ever anything in the Packers or with Devontae, do you ever borrow a route? Do you ever look at a guy and say, God, I love that move? Do receivers share secrets and gifts for the Packers?
Yeah, for sure. I think Devontae is the best at it, especially when it comes to that. He's always given knowledge, especially with him being the best wide receiver in the NFL. You can't ask for a better vet in your room to show you how it's done. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen the guy get covered, you know, for any amount of time in a game, you know, so unless they just triple covered him. So other than that, he's just one of the best at the line of scrimmage, one of the best route runners, one of the smartest guys in the building. So just having a guy like that to show you the ropes and show you great practice habits and, you know, how to do things and how to get open and be open for a long time, it's a good guy to have.
For the record, it's COVID's been difficult. You got to kind of, you know, go home, go to practice, go home, go to practice. Can you have any social life in the season right now? Like, are you guys just basically facility home? Is that your life right now in the NFL?
Yeah, basically what it is. I mean, there's not much to do in Green Bay anyway, but that's basically what it is. So, you know, a lot of the guys get together and play video games, and that's kind of how we, you know, have our social life is through the internet and through video games, so we can go out and hang out and on the game and whatnot and talk about whatever we want to talk about. You know, you get to talk to your friends all around the league, all on the video game. So that's kind of what we do now.
Marquez Valdez-Scantling, absolute pleasure to talk to you. It's a blast to watch. Got a great story, and we appreciate you coming into the herd today, man. Appreciate it. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Been a big fan for a long time.
Oh, I appreciate that. St. Petersburg, yeah, Florida. Man. Guy can flat run. And he's becoming a star in this league. He is becoming a star. How about that? I love that. St. Petersburg, Florida. I said, hey, during the break, I said, you know, there used to be a bar there called the Hurricane. And as he should have said, he goes, I've never heard of it.
That was a good answer.
And I'm thinking, that's the right answer for a young man to say. My parents didn't let me go to that part of town. I didn't go to the Hurricane bar, which had good, cold, cheap beer and fish and chips. Okay, another reminder, Joy, I've got to get the audience ready for this.
Okay.
For all the rigid people, LeBron's playing tonight, Joy. And if LeBron wins tonight, Joy, you know what that means.
Well, Denver would argue they've come back from down 3-1 several times, but it was 3-1.
It's going to mean LeBron's probably going to get to the finals.
Yes, that's probably what that means.
In the Western Conference. The thing that really blows me away with LeBron is LeBron has always been an adapter. He walked into this league and he was a freight train. He wasn't always, he really wasn't, the first couple of years in the league, he just bowled people over. Then he figured out, oh, I've got to learn to shoot three. He adapted. And then after the Dallas loss, I got to get a better low post game. And one of the things I'm impressed with, and this is why I consider LeBron the most valuable player in the league for 10 years. Folks, he's got a new coach, a new system, new teammates, a new star, a new bench, the bubble. This bubble for older players is all about who can adjust. And a lot of these old NBA guys can't, and a lot of the coaches can't. And once again, LeBron, the early adapter, not rigid, try new things, keep getting better, develop through a season. If you don't think he's the MVP of the league at this point, can't help you. BuyRaycon.com/herd, 15% off. Best wireless earbuds on the market. BuyRaycon.com/HERD.